basically quite an improvement from what it was previously. The economy's rebound was due to adjusting to sanctions, domestic production, and help from countries like Russia, Iran, and China. And repairing oil infrastructure allowed oil production to rise above 1 million barrels per day, bringing in more hard currency. One of the lesser known facts is that the U.S. has throughout its history attacked sovereign Latin American countries on many occasions, over 50 times, and wanting regime change or coups to lead to regime change. That is why many of the Latin American countries are against the U.S. warmongering policies, in this case, against Venezuela. Now let's bring in our other guest, Roman Grossvogel, professor at the University of California at Berkeley. Professor, can it be concluded that Donald Trump is after the oil and gas, not only for economic benefits for the U.S., but to be able to control the oil market against countries like in Latin America who are not subservient to the U.S. demands?
USA is trying to destroy the Bolivarian government, and they want to, which is right now the wall that is putting obstacles for the U.S. to have full control over the governments and the economy of the region. Right now, they are in an offensive to destroy all the governments that used to have some kind of sovereignty and claims against U.S. empire. For example, the Correa government in Ecuador was destroyed. The Kirchner's and Fernandez government in Argentina was destroyed. Now the Bolivia government was also has been destroyed recently. And now the main country left right now with wealth resources is Venezuela.
As of November the 23rd, the U.S. has announced a new phase of military aggression against Venezuela, with so many U.S. officials saying that the U.S. is very much prepared for a new round of actions against Venezuela. By the time this program is aired, the U.S. may have launched an attack on Venezuela. The U.S. pressure to oust Maduro from power appears to be a definitive goal. Why would a military buildup in the Caribbean underway for months and Trump to have authorized covert CIA operations? It may be just a matter of time before there is an invasion or targeting of sites inside Venezuela. I'm Kyarash Bunamati, and I'll see you next week.
Comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Let's recite the Quran.
وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا
الْقُرْآنُ نُورٌ وَبَيَانٌ الْقُرْآنُ هَدْيُ الْإِيمَانِ الْقُرْآنُ مِسْكُ الْخِتَامِ
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Welcome to this episode of Let's Recite the Quran. My name is Brother Muhammad, and with me in the studio we have Brother Masoom. Brother Hassan and Hussein, and we're missing Ali. Wherever you are, Brother Ali, we miss you a lot in the studio, in this episode at least. Inshallah, in this episode, we will be continuing the recitation of Surah Al-Ma'arij, chapter number 70 of the Noble Quran, from verse number 21 of this chapter. I'll ask Brother Masoom to kindly recite for us the first three verses of this episode, verses number 21, 22, and 23 for us. Brother Masoom, Bismillah.
Sure. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا مسه الخير منوعا إلا المصلين الذين هم على صلاتهم دائمون
أحسنتم. A very beautiful recitation. I want to point out at the first verse the letters of تفخيم. الخير خير خا and
ra.
Both of them. Ra is always a letter of tafkhim, only in some special cases that it does not do tarqim. We do not apply tafkhim on that. And what cases are those?
If ra is assigned with kasra.
Yes. So either ra is assigned a kasra, or the letter before it has a kasra and ra itself has a sukoon. When ra is sakin and the letter before it has a kasra, or when it itself has a kasra, we do it with tarqiq. We flatten the voice. However, in most cases, ra, whether it fatha or dhamma, we always go for tafkhim, a heavy and a rounded voice. وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. And if we did not do tafkhim, it would have sounded something like this. وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. Do you see the difference, right? It's flattened. خَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. Yes. خَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. But with تَفْخِيم, the correct recitation, it will be خَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. Correct? And also at the end of this verse, we have مَنُوعًا. If we were to join verse number 21 and 22, how would you recite, Brother Masoom?
الخير منوعا إلا المصلين.
أحسنتم. So there is no form of إدغام or إخفاء involved. The noon of the تنوين is just إظهار, because the letter that follows it is a normal letter, a letter that is not a mouth letter, nor is it one of the يرمنون letters. So there is no غنى, no إدغام, no إخفاء. منوعا إلا المصلين. Right? الذين هم على صلاتهم. صلاتهم تفخيم letter, right? دائمون. What kind of a stretch or mad is this, Brother Masoom?
It's a compulsory one.
It's a compulsory one, and it's...
It has six counts.
Exactly, six counts. دائمون. Keep in mind that Hamza has a cutting sound. دائمون. Right?
وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا.
And when good touches him, withholding of it.
إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ.
Except the observers of prayer.
الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ.
Those who are constant in their prayer.
Brother Hassan, can you please recite for us verses number 24 and 25 for us of Surah Al-Ma'arij?
وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْبَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ.
أحسنتم. Beautiful. There are two meds I want to bring your attention to, Brother Hassan. In verse number 24, we have فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ, right? And verse number 25, we have لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ, right? لِلسَّائِلِ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ. Tell me, what is the difference between these two meds?
They both of them, I think they're jaiz.
Keep in mind that a jaiz is usually not in one word. They're usually in two different words. Like fi amwalihim, fi is one word, amwalihim is the next one. Usually mad is when we have like a stretch and there is a hamza afterwards. That's where we have the mad. Now, if it is in one word, it is always wajib. You have to make sure that you give up to six beats for that, six counts for that med. For example, in this case, we have sa'il. It's in one word. Yes. So it's wajib and it's also muttasil. لِسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ Six beats, right? However, for the verse number 24, fi أَمْوَالِهِمْ It's a jaiz. It's not wajib. You can go up to five or six beats, or you can just stop up to four. It's up to you. وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ Correct? Can you tell me why I did not say حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ Rather, I said حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ What is the difference and why I recited حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ
Because we have ميم after the تنوين.
Uh-huh. So حَقٌّ has a تنوين, right? A نون ساكن in reality at the end. And then we have a ميم following it. Yes. Now, what ruling do we apply in this case?
إدغام.
إدغام. إدغام basically says that any of the يَرْمَلُون letters, يَا رَا ميم, Lam, Waw, and Noon. Any of these letters, when they're followed by a Noon Sakin or a Tanween, we merge them with Noon and we apply Ghunna if the letters are not Ra and Lam, correct?
Yes.
Now, in this case, we have Meem. Do we apply Ghunna for this case?
Yes.
So, how do we recite it?
Haqqum Ma'alum.
Very good. Ghunna basically means a nasal sound plus a stretch of maximum two counts. Okay. وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ
وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ
And those within whose wealth is a known right.
لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ
For the petitioner and the deprived.
I'll ask Brother Hussein now to please recite verses number 26, 27, and even if you can, 28, why not?
وَالَّذِينَ يُصَدِّقُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّهِمْ غَيْرُ مَأْمُونَ
أحسنتم. Just before I go up to the other points, I think it's important that you understand and you try to practice the tafkhim of Ra. It's not رَبِّهِمْ, it is رَبِّهِمْ. Ra, when it comes with a fatha or dhamma, it's always, actually Ra is always with tafkhim. You kind of do the exception when it is not there. So whenever you see Ra, automatically it's tafkhim. Unless it has a kasra or it has a sakin and the letter before it has a kasra. Right? In this case, it's a fatha. So it's not inna adhaba rabbihim. It is rabbihim. Round your mouth and make sure you recite it with a heavy voice. Likewise, the word directly after Rabbihim, it is غَيْرُ, not غَيْرُ, غَيْرُ. If I recite it with تَفْخِيم, it will be غَيْرُ. And if I recite it with تَرْقِيق, which is the wrong way in this case, it will be غَيْرُ, a flattened غَيْن, right? Let's get back to the other points. There were a few إِدْغَام in the recitation that you had, right? وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ What kind of an idgham in this case? Tell me where it is, first of all, and tell me what kind of an idgham is this.
It's with two memes together.
Uh-huh. هُمْ مِنْ It yes. was هُمْ مِنْ We merge the two memes. The first yes. one is ساكن and the second one is متحرك. And so we make it هُمْ مِنْ
Yes.
And this idgham, is it with ghunna? Do we recite it with the nasal sound in a stretch or without?
Yes, with nasal sound.
Exactly. So, yamun letters, ya, mim, waw, noon, which are all the idgham letters as well, we do it with ghunna. It's only ra and lam that we do idgham, but without ghunna. Okay? Hum min adhabi. Why don't we say hum min adhabi? Why don't we do ghunna for noon as well?
Because after that we have a throat letter, so So
exactly, we'll do ishaq. Adab is not a mouth letter.
Yes.
If it was a mouth letter, then we could have applied ikhfa, and in turn, ikhfa always comes with a ghunna. That would have been possible, but ayn is not a mouth letter. So yes, it's just idhar, normal idhar. Hum min adhabi rabbihim mushfiqoon. Again, rabbihim mushfiqoon. Idgham with ghunna. Mushfiqoon rabbihim. Tafkhim letters. The qaf. Mushfiqoon rabbihim. Right? Tafkhim letters. Ahsantum, very beautiful recitation. So that was up until verse number 28 of Surah Al-Ma'arij.
وَالَّذِينَ يُصَدِّقُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ.
And those who believe in the day of recompense.
وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ.
And those who are fearful of the punishment of their Lord.
إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّهِمْ غَيْرُ مَأْمُونَ.
Indeed, the punishment of their Lord is not that from which one is safe.
Let's recite the verses together from verses number 21 until verse number 28.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا مسه الخير منوعا.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا مسه الخير منوعا
إلا المصلين
إلا المصلين
الذين هم على صلاتهم دائمون
الذين هم على صلاتهم دائمون
والذين في أموالهم حق معلوم
والذين في أموالهم حق معلوم
للسائل والمحروم
للسائل والمحروم
والذين يصدقون بيوم الدين
والذين يصدقون بيوم الدين
والذين هم من عذاب ربهم مشفقون
والذين هم من عذاب ربهم مشفقون
إن عذاب ربهم غير مأمون
إن عذاب ربهم غير مأمون
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسنتم. And that concludes the recitation of this episode of Let's Recite the Quran. We recited from verse number 21 straight down to verse number 28 of chapter 70, Surah Al-Ma'arij. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Let's Recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
صفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه.
تستقيم حياتنا إلا به. هو القرآن والفرقان، إليه تنصت الأكوان، وفيه تعطر الآذان
of my life. Does everything with a smile. She's my mother, my sweet mother. She can take the pain away with just one look. That's my mother, my sweet mother. You're the picture in the frame with all the colors of the rainbow. I'm far from ashamed to say I love you so. And here I lay at home tonight. It's late, but I can't sleep tonight. Forgive me if I take my time, but I just have to let you know you're so special. She taught me how to pray. We play games every day with my mother, my sweet mother. Even if I made no sense, you listen with patience. That's my mother, my sweet mother. She would sing a sweet song till I shut my eyes and kiss my head and say goodnight. And I feel safe with you by my side. You're there for every step in my life. I'm sorry. Just have to let you know you're so precious. If only this was true. I'm in a cold, dark, wet room. I was an orphan, and now I'm 22. I've never known my mom. A picture faded by the sun is all. Left alone with nothing more but what I am. It's not enough, cause life is tough when there's no one to call my mother, my sweet mother, my sweet mother.
Good night to all of our listeners. You are tuning to Iran Radio, broadcast from Tehran. Very nice to have you with us. I'm your host for the next hour. Iran Radio, and interesting facts about Islam. Islam's tradition of oral recitation developed into an efficient vehicle for mass-produced handwritten literature. A single Muslim reciter would read a book out loud to a group of scribes, who copied his spoken words simultaneously. Europe, in contrast, used a much slower system. Monks copied books individually and one at a time. Gutenberg's movable typeprinting press was ill-suited for cursive Arabic and was only slowly adopted by Muslims. However, when lithography was invented in Germany in 1796, which used drawing on stone with ink to produce illustrations, Muslims eagerly adopted this method of printing. It replaced hand copying to make multiple copies of the Holy Quran and Arabic newspapers and books. And now we listen to the continuation of our schedule on Iran Radio. We start off this hour's programs with dialogue. The program looks at the most important conversations between Shia imams and their followers, questioners, and leaders of the other Islamic faith and sects. And our final program this hour will be Youth Station, a program all about young people and dealing with topics related to youth. Stay with us for this hour.
We have to have a very fair assessment of this academic and intellectual icon of early Islam.
His impact is more pronounced in jurisprudence that he formalized.
And tens of thousands of statements and teachings have reached us from Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam.
This is Dialogue, an introduction to the most important dialogues and conversations of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. The program is Dialogue and I'm your host Mahdi. Today we want to talk about one of the great personalities in the history of Islam, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Please stay tuned. The sixth divinely appointed Imam, Imam Jafar al-Sadiq alayhi salam, was an incredibly prominent character in the history of the Muslims. He benefited humankind with his highly scientific achievements, many of which had never been seen before by humanity. Imam Jafar al-Sadiq alayhi salam's instructions in the acts of worship and transactions and his contribution in the field of legislation were amazing achievements that had not occurred before amongst the Muslim masses. And his eminence also had a positive and active share in the establishment of human culture and civilization. The sixth divinely appointed Imam, the son of Imam Baqir alayhi salam, an individual who was divinely appointed by the Almighty Allah, was known to have improved the general public lives of the people and the Muslims, and he was an individual, a divinely appointed Imam, a man from the household of the Holy Prophet, who enhanced human thoughts and discovered many of the secrets of this universe. Welcome back, dear listeners. This is IRIB English Radio, and we're talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. So there is a contemporary of the era of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, the sixth divinely appointed Imam. This contemporary's name is Abdul Karim ibn Abil Awja. Now, I'm not really sure what religious background is that of this individual, Abdul Karim ibn Abil Awja. But apparently, when you look at the historical evidence, he was not just an unbeliever or an infidel, but he was much worse than that, apparently. He also was well known to have spread moral corruption amongst the Muslim masses, and he also apparently openly waged vehement wars against Islam. This contemporary of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam by the name of Abdul Karim ibn Abil Awja. Now, again, I wasn't able to figure out, you know, what his religious background was. Was he a Muslim? Was he a Christian? Was he a Jew? I'm not really sure. It's not clear. But what is clear is that apparently he has been called as being worse than an unbeliever, and he has been called as being worse than an infidel. And again, as we very humbly stated, that it is also reported historically that he was spreading moral corruption, ethical corruption, decadence amongst the Muslims. That's also really bad. And of course, He was openly waging some kind of wars against Islam. Now, what we find is really interesting is that this kind of an individual, who is historically known to be a bad person, committing these kind of sins on this kind of level, there's really no good expected from this kind of an individual. But it's interesting, and really it's amazing, and perhaps even one could say it's a miracle. We find that when somebody asked him about Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, and apparently somebody was bad-mouthing or disrespecting Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, and this individual, Abdul Karim ibn Abil Awja, he, very vehemently or very strictly, he responds back, and he says that no, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, Ja'far ibn Muhammad, is not a mere human being. Ja'far ibn Muhammad is such a spiritual being who could be a human being if he wished, and he could be a spiritual being if he wished. I mean, what an amazing thing that this individual has said. And what makes it even more amazing is the fact that the individual was so evil and so corrupt, and despite being so evil and so corrupt, he was, putting forth this evidence, and he was stating openly this incredible spiritual excellence of the sixth divinely appointed Imam. This is Dialogue, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam.
IRIB English Radio, our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir. And now let's listen to Sayyid Muhammad Jawad Al-Ghazwini.
Another beautiful, amazing lesson from the Imam alayhi salam, and this one's really relevant in our era. The Imam alayhi salam teaches us that our appearance, our looks, is a great means of trial in this dunya. It's a trial in two ways. One way are those people who are not satisfied with their looks. They're not happy with their looks. They hate their looks, they hate their body. And this applies to our younger generation. One of the causes of suicide, depression, anxiety amongst teenagers and people in their 20s is that they're unhappy with their looks. I'm unhappy with my body. I hate this body. I hate these looks. And so this hadith from the Imam alayhi salam states, and the Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, يُؤْتَى بِالْمَرْأَةِ الْحَسْنَاءِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. On the day of judgment, a woman who has been deemed as being beautiful is brought on the day of judgment. التي قد افتتنت في حسنها. She failed her trial because of her looks. She deceived men because of her looks. She fell into haram because of her looks. She felt arrogant because of her looks. So on the day of judgment, Allah holds her accountable. Now she is smart. Women are smart, mashallah. She defends herself before God on the day of judgment. What does she say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? She says, Ya Rab, حَسَّنْتَ خَلْقِي حَتَّى لَقِيتُ مَا لَقِيتُ. Oh Allah, you gave me my good looks, and that's why I had this trial. So she's trying to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you gave me this power, you gave me good looks, and unfortunately I failed my trial. But you gave me those looks. It seems from the hadith she's trying to blame God or deflect blame from herself. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell her? The response comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَيُجَاءُ بِمَرْيَمْ عَلَيْهَا السَّلَامِ فَيُقَالُ أَنْتِ أَحْسَنْ أَوْ هَذِهِ قَدْ حَسَّنَّاهَا فَلَمْ تُفْتَتَنْ. Allah will bring Maryam alayha salam, Mary, the mother of the Christ. Allah will tell this lady, are you more beautiful or Maryam? Maryam, by the way, was known for her beauty. She was one of the most beautiful women of her time. Allah will tell this lady, look at yourself. Are you more beautiful or Maryam? We gave her beautiful looks, but she did not fail her trial. She protected her modesty and chastity and her humbleness. She's a hujjah on you on the day of judgment. Beautiful lesson that you learn from Al-Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the program, Dialogue. For more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamidi.
Islamidi.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to all of you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to another episode of Youth Station. This is Nahid, having the honor of being with you, and here with me, I have the pleasure of being with my very dear sister.
Masuma, how are you?
Great. How about you?
Everything is nice.
Well, these days, my friends are just talking to me about getting married.
Yes.
And why do you make a stand against it? Why don't you like to let someone enter your private life? Mm-hmm. Well, to answer them, I have many things in mind. But honestly speaking, I just act as if I haven't heard what they say. Oh. Because I know that they're not going to be listening. They're going to have their own side. And I do have mine. And this is a place that we cannot have any common things in between. So I act as if I couldn't hear. And they're sometimes like, hello, girl, are you still here? And I'm like, I am here. I heard all you said. Even a few days ago, I told them the summary. I told them, you said this, 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 and that.
I remember it all.
And I heard all of them. And even don't imagine for a second that I couldn't hear. I heard them all. I just chose to act as if I cannot hear. I chose to be deaf at the moment. So, single life. This can be the starting point of today's episode.
I think when every generation looks back on their older generation,
yeah,
they take away some messages, and I don't want to say something very too much general. Generation have seen you know, unhealthy marriages around themselves, yeah, or in movies and stories. So, you know, when I hear some lady, for example, you know, when women get together, they nag. I'm like, girl, so why did you get married in the first place? Like, and, you know, they're like, oh, I wish I knew, so why you didn't do more research. So I'm always blaming them. Yeah. I'm like, why didn't you think beforehand? Why you didn't do this? Why you didn't do that? And so now that I'm the age that I might get married, it feels weird that should I stay single? Should I change a bit? What's going on? We are in this little confusion because we don't want to risk. We have this sense of individuality. I think back then, especially when people lived in joint families, mm-hmm, this sense of individuality was not really there. It was more that us. It was not me, right?
Right.
I hope I can make sense. It was, how can I be benefit for others? But now, at least some people like me in our generation are like, how is it gonna benefit me? We are more I-centered.
Yeah, right. But I think with improvement comes this kind of vibe that I have to care about myself.
Yes.
That I am responsible for my own life. I mean, in the past, we would have had these stereotypes that the man of the family is going to be, mm-hmm, responsible for everything.
Yes.
And the woman is going to just stay home, be gentle, take care of the children. And now these roles have been deleted.
Yes.
So as a woman, as a man, I know that I am responsible for myself. Boys right now will say that I will leave once, so I should be responsible for whatever decision I'm making. The same happens to the girls. So I think with improvement, these things have come. Part of them are positive, even. I mean,
yes,
it's really nice that a young girl today will not wait for someone to come and just...
Oh, a lovely prince,
yeah,
save me.
Exactly. And the boys the same. They are not waiting for someone to come, change their lives, make it more beautiful, make it all colorful and nice. But they are working for themselves. The boys know what their dreams are, and they're working for it. The same happens to the girls. But the way it has been connected to marriage, this is a bit more complex. It is a bit more complex and confusing, I guess.
Yes, because this has so many aspects to it. It has, you know, as I told you, this individual aspect of it,
yeah,
personal, and then social, how society is. Some societies, you know, make marriage as a pressure.
Yeah.
For
a
youth.
A must.
Yes. It is a level that is, you know, you have to do it. And then some people are avoiding it because they don't want to say yes to the social pressure.
Right.
I think that if the social pressure was not there, these people would, you know, would prefer to get married even. Which is like really interesting how we react to different topics because,
yeah,
of the society.
Yeah, sometimes you just don't want to accept the norms of the society.
Yes, you want to be the rebellion.
But going back to our religion, yeah, it is really nice that in Islam we have this idea that marriage and men and women standing next to each other,
mm-hmm,
will complete them. Our great prophet had said, marriage is my tradition. Whoever rejects it is not from me. So we know, I mean, as Muslims, we know that this is a must. This is something very important. This is going to improve us. This is going to be our final decision. But then we come to this point that, am I ready for it or not? I mean, for Muslims, I guess,
mm-hmm,
the problem is here. This readiness. Am I ready? Am I well prepared to go for this decision or not?
Back then, when I think, you know, this knowledge and psychology, this were not really common, people would make mistakes and they would think that a certain age,
yeah,
means you're ready.
Yeah, they
now,
can.
Now, we see child men, as some friend of mine called them. That is really pathetic and bad. What? Now that we have, you know, thankfully, we can have, you know, therapies, knowledge, we observe other people, we can make a bit wiser decision. And if you're not sure, just reading some books and getting a therapy can really be helpful.
So we have to go for this. We know that our religion is just encouraging us,
yes,
to get married, to start families, to share this wisdom of the Islamic culture within the community.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go for a short break, and then we're going to discuss what are the deeper reasons for young people who reject marriage.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Some people people like to be independent,
yes,
like to have their own freedom, and they are scared, like me. They're scared that what if the person who's going to enter my life will change? I have seen many people around me, many yes. friends, that once they were marrying, they thought, okay, this person is different. He's different from
the
world.
He's the one.
Yeah, he's the one that I could find. And then they go for the marriage, and after a few months, the challenges will start. That one person will change into the common one, into the kind of one that, the kind of person that could have come to their life and change everything, or even destroy. So many people are scared of this, that people will change, and what if my independence, my freedom, will make him sad or make him change his ideas towards me. The same will happen to the boys. What if the woman is going to control me so much that I cannot have my freedom to spend time with my friends, say it?
Yes, we have seen many examples around ourselves yeah. that this makes this lovely concept of marriage very scary.
Yeah.
You know, see, I understand why society kind of puts pressure on young people to get married. Because a healthy, good marriage, I want to highlight healthy, good marriage, huh, can really help you improve. You know, emotionally, spiritually, and worldly too. But not every marriage is gonna, you know, give me this growth.
Yeah, right.
Some marriages destroy you, kill you. And not only you, but also your children, if by that time you have children.
Even your family.
Your families and surrounding. And then, oh my God, these toxic families all together. Now, amazing, we have a small back society. That's not nice. That's one of the big reasons, I think, why our generation does not want to continue the cycle. They're waiting for this perfect marriage.
Yeah, right. And they're not ready to take risks.
Yeah, no risks. Exactly. We are not ready to take risks. I'd rather die single probably than take risk of a maybe, you know,
also
marriage.
Also, financial problems. I mean, for boys, I have some cousins mm-hmm. that are just at the age that they have to. They don't have to, say. They want to get ready to start a family.
Okay.
But whenever we talk to each other, they have this phobia, this terror that, what if this happens and I'm not ready financially to start a family? What if I will not marry unless I am sure that one day my wife wants something mm-hmm. and then I can just provide her with it? What if I do not have that much of wealth that is needed for her?
In Islam, we believe that yeah. rizq is something that Allah gives us. So, you know, we can try our utmost, but at the end of the day, Allah is the one who's blessing us. So for this particular, you know, aspect, I can be a little gentle and say that mm-hmm. we can, you know, if you're working, if you're, you know, doing enough, then you should not worry that much.
Yeah.
You should have a bit tawakkul to God.
But putting it into practice is hard.
Yes, of course it is hard. For me, I see marriage a bit scary, not for the financial reason.
I think the biggest problem, I mean, the most highlighted one, mm-hmm. based on the community, the society, what I can see with people, is this fear of conflict or divorce.
Oh.
I mean, we don't like the negative side. We don't like the other person saying negative ideas about us. We don't like them to criticize us. And more importantly, we don't like the divorce. So because this young generation doesn't want to hear the negative idea, negative side of the story, doesn't want someone to come home one day and say, why did you do this?
Mm-hmm.
So they escape it. I don't know if you've heard any stories or seen any people experiencing this problem, that they don't like to be in a conflict. You know, our generation usually likes to be in comfort, in quiet and peace.
Mm-hmm.
So we feel marriage is going to put us outside this peace.
Yes.
We're going to be outside this comfort zone.
It is definitely going to be out of our
yeah.
comfort zone because, you know, even normal relationship like friendship needs a lot of sacrifices,
yeah, right.
let alone this marriage that you need to, you know, get along with a totally opposite gender from a totally different family and probably from a totally different universe. Of course it's scary. But
so I think this is the scariest part.
Yeah. That you wouldn't be able to, you know, have that spark for the longest of time,
right.
that connection that we thought that could comfort each other. Because we have in Quran that in Surah Ar-Rum, verse 21, He created for you from yourselves mates that you may find tranquility in them. You know, if there is no peace and calm, why to get married? Yeah, that's my point.
Yeah, so truly mentioned. And also with companionship, with this being together, this togetherness, comes this peace, comes this tranquility, comes this connection, this vibe that I'm not alone. So marriage does have its terrors, let's say, its risks for sure. But also with it comes the stability and love. With it comes the companionship that we might never find anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for sure, with our family, we feel safe. We feel like we have some supporters next to us. But this level of connection is totally different from the other ones.
Yeah, it's a different type.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we would want to get married according to social norms, it can be very hard because society has some very unnecessary taboos.
Yeah. Right.
And very hard
and
norms.
Traditions
and standards for both men and women. I am not saying it's very much easier for men or for women, both sides. They have to be this perfect woman or man to be, you know, wanted. And these labels that people are putting on each other. The best thing, I think, is to, you know, trust God and reference to the religion. What has religion to say? Are these norms even acceptable? Are these even important? What is the main thing that I should be looking for? What sacrifices should I make and what sacrifices I should not make?
Also looking at the other side, I mean, okay, you prefer to stay single your whole life. Is this connecting your religion? Is this connecting your personality and your character? You know, humans are created for connection.
Yes.
We are created in societies. In our religion, we have many places like the Friday prayer. We have many places that we show.
Communal activity.
Yeah, exactly. We show that we are standing next to each other. We show that we're not alone. Our religion is not the one that has been designed for people being isolated and all alone. So our religion is showing the way. The risks are of course, on our way. But we should also be aware that we're not going to stay alone our whole life.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even possible.
So I think we should go for marriages. But if you are aware, ready, and, you know, strong enough.
Well, with the wishes of great marriages in the way of our listeners, and with the wishes of great lives for those who are already living with each other, let's end today's episode. Wassalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you, dear youth, will see that day, and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about this.
We'll discuss that inshallah in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Good night to all of our listeners. You are tuned into Iran Radio. Very nice to have you with us. I'm your host here in Tehran for the next hour. We start off this hour's programs with our news bulletin. After that, we have Minbar. The program covers speeches on a host of subjects by very well-known Islamic scholars and orators. Our varied radio productions feature will follow. And we round up this hour's programs with Leader's Speech, presenting an English translation of a selection of the statements and speeches by the Honorable Leader of the Islamic Revolution.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
As Israel presses ahead with military raids in occupied West Bank, two bus Palestinian resistance carries out operations against regime forces. Meanwhile, Israel continues with ceasefire violations in Gaza by launching fresh deadly attacks in the Palestinian territory. And new research shows Israel's grappling with brain drain attributed mainly to the judicial overhaul and the fallout of the war on Gaza. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us here on World News. Now tensions arising in the occupied West Bank. Israeli forces push ahead with violent raids while Palestinian resistance are putting up stiff resistance to these incursions. The resistance operation took place near the city of Al-Khalil. At least one Israeli soldier has been injured.